The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Legit Batters. We don't really do ads, but if you feel the need to support our dumb show, you can subscribe on Rockfin for all of our shows, plus bonus member shows, or on Patreon for audio versions. Oh my god, this sounds so scripted. It's terrible.
No, read it like that the whole time.
No, I can't.
Yes, do it.
Okay. Or click on the affiliate link in the notes to support awesome companies. I don't know who wrote these notes. Oh, yeah, it's me. If you don't feel like sending bullshit fiat currency to us, just share the show with a friend or give us a rating or review. You know, standard podcast shit.
Actually, that could be said without the radio voice.
Oh. Well, maybe I'll put in a fart noise. But we also accept sweet nothings in the form of DMs or emails. Seriously.
That's actually more appreciated. We don't need your money. We just want loves.
We don't need your money. It'd be cool. But I mean, if you don't want to buy us a beer, that's fine. You can just say, hey, you guys are awesome. Or say, you guys suck. Those are funny too.
No, it's like hanging out. When you go out and hang out with your friends at a show, just say you're at a concert. Would you be more excited that they were there and that you got to spend time with them, or if they bought you a beer? I guess it would depend on your alcohol dependency levels, but
yeah,
we don't have that. We are just excited to be hanging out with you guys. That's it.
Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show and support however you fucking want. Thank you.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testing.
Testies.
Testies. 1, 2, 3. I don't know shit about fuck.
Test.
I like sucking.
I love laying.
Legit Bat Podcast.
You have a massive erection.
It's not a tumor.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Give your balls a top.
Expanding reality.
Expanding reality.
Expanding reality.
That was great.
No, and I dropped at the end. I was all,
We nailed it.
Guys, awesome. Awesome.
For the win.
Absolutely perfect. I don't know why I thought it'd be any different.
Right? Who are you talking to right now?
Absolutely amazing. And you know, I've had, you know, what, 100 and I guess show 20 something people do this now. And the funny ones are like Dr. Ervin Laszlo, like the Hungarian physicist, like one of the greatest minds of our time, written over 120 books, like fucking ridiculous. And he was just like expounding reality. He was fucking fun, you know. And then I had Peter Gorman on, who's the guy that, you know, when he was the High Times editor that went down to Peru and is responsible for bringing ayahuasca to the States. He fucking went off. I mean, he's like, you know, been fried for 60 years. So he was just like, expand reality. He was fucking all over the place. So there's like this catalog of these that I'd like to release in some compilation or something. But guys, that was fucking perfect. Thank y'all so much.
Did that make it to the compilation?
You absolutely did.
I was just about to say, if what you want to do for that compilation is start it out with our awesome song, and then as we drop off, play your own intro with all of the different ones. That way it's kind of like a, what the fuck am I watching? Well, you're watching a bunch of retards saying expanding reality like they know what the fuck they're talking about.
Holy shit. Holy shit. I love this. Okay, well, you guys just want to get it going?
Do it.
Yeah, what did you want to talk about?
Here, drop like a series of 12 farts, like no less than 12.
Oh, wow.
And
no less than 12.
Let's get started like that, and then we'll ramp up.
All right, we'll do it. All right, I'm going to start with, oh, am I missing that one? Oh, bitch. Okay, well, let's do this.
Bitch.
All right. Called her a bitch in front of her tits.
Where'd the rest of them go?
Wow.
That was like a chorus.
God, farts. Those are all farts I heard in real time and watched them being recorded. But they
were in production. As everybody out there in listening world can tell, we're going to do things a little bit differently here today. I am so grateful to have Joe, Jen, and Ben from Legit Bat on. You guys have just found a beautiful place in my heart, and we've done several lives together. You've had me on your show. You've just become such great friends, and so I'm truly grateful to do this. So we're mixing it up. We're having a good time. This is awesome. So welcome, guys. Welcome to Expanding Reality.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks,
thank
dude.
You so much. It's an honor to be on your show that I love so much. I love your show.
I love y'all so much. Thank you so much for saying that. You're too fucking sweet. You're good for my ego. So, what have you been up to lately?
What have we been up to? Oh, fuck. Yeah. Trying to wait for that meteor to come and just, you know, end everything.
Yeah, that's you. That's not me. That's crazy.
Give you the sweet rest.
No,
sweet,
I'm not.
Sweet death.
I'm interested in living to be 500. So, we did that round table. Right. A couple weeks ago, I think at this point, and you said, what would you do if you could live to be 500? And I was like, wow, that's the exact age I talk about dying at, because I think it's important.
You'd get there and be like, wait, no, another 500.
No, but okay, I'm pretty old, but I look really young, and I smoke cigarettes, and I drink all the time. So, like, not all the time. Okay, cool. But what I'm saying is I do things that people say, this does this to you, this does this to you, this does this. So I understand when you drink alcohol, yeah, you're going to be, you know, not right there coherently. So I don't do it when I'm working. I don't drink during the day, typically. It's kind of daytime still, and I am drinking. But during
it's
the week,
out.
The work week.
Forget what I just said.
No. I'm just saying during the work week, I'm a responsible person. I don't drink at all until nighttime. Completely during the week, and on weekends we typically do things. This was kind of a weird day. It was a very stressful day for me as well. Brandon, you talked about having some stressful days recently.
Energy has been heavy. Yeah,
it has. Yeah, today was kind of a day. It wasn't bad. It was just a lot of stuff coming at me. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna crack my first fucking drink at 2 p.m. on a Sunday, which I would never normally do. We don't drink till night, like I was saying. But I do these things that society tells us kill you and make you wrinkly and old and gross looking, and you shouldn't do them. But if you just say, like, that doesn't really have power over me. I know it sounds woo and weird. I just think there's a way to just not give a fuck. And society also tells you you're definitely going to die between 80 and 100, maybe 120 if you live in the Philippines and have an amazing diet. I don't know. But that's the max lifespan. Like, nobody lives to be 200. So I was like, fuck it. Let's just raise the bar and make it 500. Why don't we all do that and see what happens? Maybe we will still all die at 85 or whatever the fuck. But we could try it instead of listening to what they tell us. You know? I don't know.
You know, but there's something to that, though, because you have a great life. You live the hell out of, like, those, 75, 80 years, and you live the shit out of them. And then you just skip the boring part where you're laying in a bed and shitting on yourself for, like, 20 of those years. Yeah, you're living longer. But what quality of life are we talking about here? Now, if you had a blast and you come in just, you know, smoke coming out of your ears, your hair all sex haired up, and you just like fall at the finish line drunk as shit, then that's a good life. You know, you did it right, I think. So, yeah,
that's,
I think there's something to
point.
That.
No, there's that. That's a great point. But I was planning on not aging until I'm like 485 is what I mean. So, like, obviously, I'm not going to be just
oddly specific.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I shouldn't do that, though. Specifying is what creates those guidelines for everybody as far as what's real. But if you just say, I'm going to live this life, like the way that I am right now, I'm going to do that for like another 400 years, not be bedridden for 400 years, just laying there having strokes all the time. No. That's not what I want. I want to be
why
doing
I'm not
this
vegan
shit all the time.
Because vegan,
I know, just having
just strokes all the time,
just constant strokes. I feel like I'm doing that.
Exhausted this week. I had a stroke every couple minutes. Like, it's just all the time.
That's why I would never go vegan, because maybe it makes you live longer. Maybe it just seems like you live longer because you're fucking miserable.
You don't have to go vegan.
I have bacon cooking downstairs, and after Planet Retard, I opened up the door and I was like, nothing like freedom coming up the stairs.
Freedom aromas.
Freedom strips.
What I'm saying, though, is there's a way that you can take what we're told and turn it into, that doesn't matter, and I'm gonna make my own path, and we can manifest our reality. I know it sounds wooey and weird, but We don't have to sit there and listen like, okay, we die at this time and this is what we have to do to get through life. And this happens when we're this age and this happens when we're this age and we have to screen for colon cancer at 50 and we have to get mammograms at 40. Like, okay, that's fine. That's just what we're told. How many, have you guys ever heard stories? I have heard personal stories from people who've had parents who went in for a cancer screening and they went in and they had like a stage 4 cancer, according to the doctor. And the doctor told the people, you have stage 4 cancer. You've had cancer forever. You have like 2 days to live. And in some
cases, you
have
all the cancer.
It's not a tumor.
Yeah, but these people are living
cancer all the time.
Fine. They have nothing wrong with them. Nothing. No symptoms. And then all of a sudden, symptoms present themselves because they're told you have cancer and you have 2 days to live or 2 months or whatever. But when we're told something like that, you have 2 months to live, your brain goes into fucking hyperdrive and you're like, oh my gosh, 2 months to live, what am I gonna do? But if they never knew, I just wonder, what if they never knew? How many people are walking around with stage 4 cancer right now just fucking running track and shit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because by knowing, the only thing you do, it would tank your, you don't want to be bummed out like that. You would just listen to Tim McGraw's Live Like You Were Dying song on repeat just for the rest of your days, and it's just sad. Like, nobody wants that. That's the thing. It's like, would you want to know, you know, or just drop dead all of a sudden? I wouldn't want to fucking know. I don't think so.
Oh, same.
That is for sure a fucking rock bottom, dude. Anytime Tim McGraw comes on, it's like, oh, God, shit's bad.
There we go.
On that
Got
song
it.
He did with Nelly. What was that said?
Oh, we don't talk about that. Just like Chris Gaines, we don't talk about that.
Oh, I have a clip of him, actually.
Block, block.
There it is.
He's so stupid.
For the listeners, Joe has a soundboard, by the way, so it sounds like there's a bunch of people here. And it sounds like they're gassy, but it's just his soundboard. Now. Bring it along. It's their fourth member, and I like it. It's your Ringo.
Oh, my God. Stop!
I embarrass him. So fun.
No, he does this thing every time where he goes like this. Like, he's like my dad. You can see the gears turning way before he does the sound drop, where he's like, how do I word this so that I can push this button at the end? And then he'll sit there for a minute and he go, like, he just got it. And he's like, you go like this, and then you go like that. And then he goes, and he pushes it. And he's like, it's funny every time.
That's not far off.
Ben, I love you so much for saying that, because I had a realization maybe 3 years ago that Joe was exactly like your father.
And oh, it's horrible.
Oh, this is my future. So he's exactly like him in every
way. Oh, yeah. Dad. Every way.
I love your dad, though. I think your dad's amazing. I think your dad's great. So it's not an insult.
He's okay. It was
I know, he's not my dad. He's your dad. So it's different. I have a different outlook.
I still think it'd be just the final family twist if we found out the dad was a pothead. It would explain fucking everything. Like,
that's
he would just.
Though.
No, I know. But like, can you imagine him and his little S10 fucking driving home from work, taking the long way so he can smoke his J and get nice and high before he's got to deal with mom and five fucking kids?
Yeah. Listen to Tim McGraw.
Probably.
Ugh.
So, anyways,
it's fucking awesome. So of course, guys, all the ways to find them, link down in the show notes. Y'all know how this works. Y'all's show is so much fun. You have the coolest stuff that you talk about, and you just can go anywhere with it. So what made you guys want to come together and start Legit Bat anyway? And I am also, of course, you have to tell me what Legit Bat means.
Oh,
we're going
you know.
To tell you. We have to
known,
tell you.
I have known y'all this
last?
Long and haven't talked about it.
Okay. I think Ben probably did it last. I'll let you do it this time, but I'll give you why we started. We just wanted to do a podcast. Like, I had no real idea. I bought some microphones. I'm like, Ben, we could just set the microphones out, get drunk and talk, and then make people listen to it. And he's like, yes, that is a great idea. And then he came up with the name for it, and Jen or Ben can go into how that came to be. But it took about a year from the time I got microphones to the time I was like, okay, let's just fucking do this. Let's record an episode and put it out there, fart it out there to the world. Which is how it comes across.
I told you. There he goes. He set it up again.
He did. So Joe came home one day from work, and I was doing some mundane thing.
I wasn't fucking lying, dude. The whole time he was telling that story, he was trying to figure out how to end it. Like, you can see it coming now from a mile away. He sits there and starts talking, and he's like, I need to go out with a bang and a fart.
Yeah. Joe came home one day.
Makes me happy.
Joe came home one day and said, "Hey, babe, I want to start a podcast." And I was like, "Cool. What do you want it to be about?" And he was like, "I don't know. We'll just talk and see what happens." And I think I was putting dishes away or doing something stupid. I was doing definitely doing something dumb that was not important. And I looked at him and I was like, "Oh, cool. That sounds awesome." And I didn't have the right look on my face, apparently, because he was like, apparently don't seem interested at all in this. And I was not, I didn't say that sounds fucking dumb. I was just like, okay, cool. You have no goal and you're not sure why you want to do this. All right. Well, I'm not really sure how to respond after that. So I'm just going to keep doing what
basically
I'm
doing. She was just like,
No, I wasn't though. I was just like, oh, cool. You have zero. So then he waited until I went out and did I he waited until I left to start recording. He's like, "I'm going to record when you're gone." I was like, "Oh, that's rude. Why?" Because I thought you wanted it to be this fun thing that we do. And yeah. He's like, "Oh, I don't know. It seems like you're not interested." And I was like, "Because I just wanted to know what you want to talk about. Like, I don't know if you want to record it and we're putting it out there for people. I think there should be some sort of general goal, even if the goal is let's start it on who cares? We'll just bring up a topic and free flow with it. That would have been okay as well. It wasn't even that. It was just like, I don't even know.
Just whatever.
Just didn't. I don't know though. Was your main response? And I was like, oh, well,
we
I don't.
We do that at the start of every show though. I'm like, I don't know what we're talking
we
about.
We do. So I have grown as well. So anyway, there were a couple shows I wasn't on in the very beginning, and then after like three or four shows, I was like, okay, let's see what the fuck this is. But Legit Bat came about. Where so Ben had this great idea to name it that. Joe was asking about names from us for a while. And what did we do? You remember the different names that we went through?
No.
Oh, I remember some of them.
Yeah.
We were trying to riff off of like things that had to do with our childhood. So like instead of Third Eye Blind, Joe came up with like Third Eye Something as like a kind of a riff. And then he was like, "Nah, that's gay." And then we came up with a whole bunch of other ones, and nothing just stuck. At the time that I sent him Legit Bat Podcast, I was thinking it was going to get shot down immediately because we'd been shooting each other's stuff down. Like, no, that's not going to, it's just dumb. And then he was all, "That's it. That's it." And I'm all,
texted me that he said, "Hey, Ben just had this great idea. I think we were just at our duplex."
I actually remember where I was when he sent me that text on my route for work. Like, I remember where I was when I was like, "Oh,
yeah,
that
you
might
texted
be it.
Me," and shit. I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's it for sure." So, yeah. So where Legit Bat came from is Joe and I met online on a video game that most of our friends know about, or listeners do. So we met, and then we decided we FaceTimed every single day for a month or two, maybe four, and I finally decided to come out at the end of June in 2015, and he had a roommate, and I was so scared. I was so fucking scared that his roommate would hate my fucking guts. I was like, yeah, I'm some chick you met in a video game. He's, you know, he has a little boy who lives in this house, and he was going through a divorce. Like, it was just a lot of stuff, and they were both in this weird place, and I was just coming out there like, "Hey, let's get drunk and hang out. We met on a video game, whatever." And when I came out, his roommate was the most amazing human ever. He was so fun and so fucking nice. And he came up to me when I was in the kitchen grabbing a beer. And he said, he held out a wooden baseball bat, put it on the counter, and gave me a red Sharpie. And he said, "Hey."
Mind you, were hammered.
Yeah. Okay. Well, oh, I also had traveled 2,000 miles across the country, and I was scared. I was like, ugh. I was happy to meet Joe, but I was around his roommate, who I wasn't sure of, and then Ben actually had just moved in at the time as well. So I wasn't scared. I was overwhelmed. That's a better word for it. I wasn't afraid. It was more overwhelmed. And I was happy, excited, but overwhelmed same time. So his roommate hands me a red Sharpie and a wooden baseball bat and says, "Hey, can you please write Legit in bubble letters on this bat?" And I was like, "Why?" And I thought that I was maybe embarrassing myself, or maybe he was making fun of me in some way. That's where my brain went. And it wasn't at all. So I did it anyway. He's like, no, please, please do it. Please do it. This is our friend Tony, who just recently passed away from liver failure. But he was so genuinely excited for me to write Legit on this bat. And then as soon as I did, he was like, yes, he held it up. He was so excited. And then he had me watch where that came from. And it was from Workaholics, where they're all three sitting on the roof of the house. And they're like, hey, you guys ever seen dad dicks? Like, dad dicks in the 80s were way bigger. And he's like, okay, fine. My dad has a legit bat. Or Durs. They're asking Durs about his dad's dick. And he's like, oh, okay, my dad has a legit bat. And they thought that was so funny to say that their dad has a legit bat. So that's why he had me write legit on a bat. It's just a dick joke at best. At the end of the day, it's just a dick joke. So what we would do, though, with the legit bat that we had created, that I wrote legit on, is we would pass it around to people. Well, because we all hung out pretty often, play Cards Against Humanity or just hang out and talk, whatever. And whoever said the funniest, best thing, they would get past the legit bat. Like, we'd be like, dude, that's the best. Like, you get the legit bat.
It's like
and
passing
have
the baton
it.
To the wittiest yeah. comment of the night.
And they'd take it home with them. It was fine. They'd bring it back the next time, and we'd pass it around all the time. And then when Joe and I got married, Tony, his roommate who had me write legit on the bat, Tony married us. So I had this crazy idea of making our wedding. First, I wanted to make it like a normal wedding. And then I was like, it doesn't matter. We actually got married a year and 2 months prior to our wedding, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So it didn't matter. Anyone could have married us, like literally anybody. So I thought it would be really cool if Tony was incorporated in that somehow and he married us. And he was like, okay, I guess I'll marry you. That's weird. So he ended up marrying us, writing our vows. Wrote vows for our children as well. So he wrote vows because Joe has a son and I have a daughter from different relationships. He wrote these vows for our kids to be together in this new coupling because they were not together prior, you know. It was just pretty amazing. And then at the end of the ceremony, which was like 10 minutes because we're not lame, we made it cool. He made it a hilarious but heartfelt ceremony. And then also presented me with the legit bat as like the last joke, like you marry Joe, like, haha, here's the legit bat. So I got
you
presented
win.
With that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in my wedding dress. It was pretty fucking awesome.
That's amazing. What a cool story.
And the thing is with creating the podcast too, is that like all of this happened. I mean, that original story of the bat, that all happened within, you know, like the first year or 2 years. And it was this concurrent thing that happened when we decided to do the podcast, to go back to what they originally talked about and how it started was Joe had a really old computer. I had just gotten one the year prior. And I think the first one we did was shout out to Ryan from Dangerous World. He came on and was basically, you know, on his phone. I was on my phone and we were like, well, what are we going to talk about? Like, what do you guys want to talk about? And the idea between me, Joe, and Jen over some drunk nights was we would have such epic conversations between me, Joe, Jen, and Tony amongst other friends that might get in that constantly while had been drunken, we would say, man, we really need a way to catalog some of these conversations. And when Joe first came up with it, it was the idea of being over a fire pit. We're all outside. The kids are in bed. We're having our brews or whatever. We're smoking. And we are just talking with our third eyes open about random ass shit that we saw. And when Joe brought it up, he's like, I kind of want it to be just kind of like a, like what we talked about, like just kind of like a down home fire pit conversation. And, you know, I'm not expecting anybody to listen. It's just kind of one of those, like, if we ever want to go back and reminisce, or it was very low key. I had a $20 Turtle Beach headset. He had this old fucking like $30 mic that didn't work very well and had like 80 wires coming out of it to work. We had no software. And then within a couple of months, Jen bought him a computer. It was way better. He was able to download all the software. He started doing the graphics. And then within about 6 months, we got onto Rockfin. And from Rockfin, it ended up doing the video. And then from the video, it ended up doing the visuals. And then from the visuals, it ended up doing things like Tommy Chong. And like all of these things just kind of snowballed all within the first like 9 months. By the time we hit our first year, we were set up almost the way that we are now. And then we didn't even do it like an anniversary show. And Joe was like, you know, I really don't care if anybody listens, but this is progressing. And I said, yeah, as long as we're not expecting to make any money from it. You know, we just enjoy being able to talk to people the way that we all talk to each other in a way that we can actually catalog it. And if somebody finds anything in it that is helpful or interesting or helps them throughout their work day or whatever, like that's it. That's all we ever wanted to do. And
it's just a library. It's a library of us talking and doing whatever we do. that will be there. Well, hopefully, unless we get EMP attacked, but that'll be there for like the kids. Like when they're old enough to listen to the stupid shit we say, if they feel like it, they can go back and be like, wow, I wonder what these 300 episodes of bullshit my parents used to do when I was little, and just start listening to it, you know, and be like, wow, cool, cool parents I have.
I think that's an important thing, though. We had no intentions. We weren't trying make any money. We weren't trying to do anything. Not that we weren't trying to do anything positive. We were, but it was just very unintentional. We didn't say, all right, we're going to go make a bunch of money. We're going to do this. And we had no selfish
intent. We didn't have dreams of grandeur.
Our currency came in just like positive reviews and positive feedback from people. That's all we wanted to make off of it.
It's like the most altruistic thing ever. And why y'all are so successful, because you are incredibly successful. And why is because you're so damn you. You're so authentic. And this is one of the cool things. You guys are the reason people say, oh, I just want to start a podcast. But you actually did it. And then you followed through. And you're great at it. So a lot of people think, and they're right, you can just do this. But to do it right, it's a lot of work. And you guys were at least willing to put the work in because you saw the value in it, minus the expectations of grandeur. But again, it's kind of that thing. You don't expect it, but that's why you're receiving it, is because you're just open to receive anyway. And then you're just like, yeah, if it happens, cool. If not, whatever. And then now you're just like, oh, 7,000 followers, whatever. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's no big deal to y'all, but it's amazing. And in the community, you guys are just so well loved, all of you. And you know this. We just all absolutely adore you. And I was talking to a buddy, I think we were talking about this off air, this morning about y'all, Bo. He's been in a few lives. Guy does my website, just one of my best friends ever. And we were just talking about how much we adore you guys. And he was just like, God, they're just so sweet and deep and funny. And that's what we were saying, is you can go from the most incredibly deep, profound thing about the universe and then cap it off with a fart. And it's one of the most amazing things, the way that you guys are able to just speak about stuff. You're lighthearted, you're authentic, and that's why everybody loves you. That's why I love you. Yeah.
Well, really, really appreciate that. And it means a lot coming from people that are also in that realm, because Joe, I will definitely, and be more than happy to say, Joe's definitely been the backbone of the podcast. He does all the editing. He does all of he does everything for it. The whole thing was that we didn't want to have a shtick. We wanted, you know, and once I get a better computer, I told him I would be more than happy to do some post and pre-production, but you know, that's a ways down the road. Life happens. Things got in the way right as we were starting it. It seemed like everybody was going through shit 6 months into 2020. And so when it all started, like me and Joe and Jen all kind of agreed, we're like, we don't want to change. We don't want it to change. We want it to be grotesque and crude and funny, the way that you would talk again over a fire pit drinking with just you and your friends. And it's been a wild ride. I've said it a million times, were it not for the podcast and the guests that we've had on, I would not in any way, shape or form, one, think the way that I do now. Two, I probably wouldn't be in the relationship that I am in now. And three, the entire way that I look at life is just completely different because of the podcast. And that was something that we didn't expect to get anything out of it. We expected to hopefully give something out of it, a little piece of ourselves, but you weren't expecting to really get anything out of it. And the amount of shit that we've been able to get out of it just off the cuff is absolutely incredible. And to everybody that's out there, including yourself, you know, we really appreciate it.
It's that legacy type thing. That's what I was talking about with the kids too, where whether they want to listen to it or not, it's like an option. I don't have the option of listening to my dad or mom when they were in their 30s or 40s talking for hours on end about the craziest shit. I don't know what they think about aliens. I don't really care either. But if I had it to listen to now, I would probably go back and listen and be like, what do these motherfuckers think in the 80s? Like, I wonder, really wonder.
You know, yeah, you're right. And for the example, and for the digital fingerprint that a lot of people are leaving for their children, it's probably pretty embarrassing. It's just like pictures on, you know, OnlyFans, which there's nothing wrong with that. But that's like it, you know, and they're not having deep discussions. They're going deep for $5 a pop. They're, yeah, come on. God, this guy.
He will fucking derail you every time.
I love it. And so that's the thing, right? It's always that scary thing that moms or whoever talk about them finding their unmentionables or something, their kids down the line. But you guys actually have some really cool conversations. And I've talked to my wife about this. Her dad, you know, everybody gets older, but I, you know, told her, I was like, look, he's got amazing stories. And she said, yeah, I just want to catalog this somehow. I go, sweetheart, we have a huge studio. Just come in here and sit with him and I'll hit record and you guys can just have this. But you guys are doing it and you're real. And it's like you said, Ben, dude, you're absolutely right. That is something that you cannot prepare for, is how much this changes you and how this is the most accelerated growth experience I've had. Psychedelics didn't touch it. This is the most accelerated growth experience because we're seeking wisdom. We're seeking knowledge. We're seeking crazy cool conversations and interactions with high vibe people that are also seeking the same. We're like, hey, have you heard this crazy shit? Fart joke. It's just the coolest thing. And I just absolutely love this, and you could not be more right. But I love what you're doing for your kids. And I mean, yeah, that's something you don't think about. You don't have that for your kids. But think about all the kids growing up now. They're going to have like their dad going off on some congressman on Facebook and getting banned. And they're going to have all that, you know? It's interesting. Hmm. So where did the when did you get the soundboard? When did that get infused?
I was trying to do it like last summer, but I was using a different streamer service back then, and I couldn't figure out a good way to do it that made sense. And then I gave up OBS because it sucks, and I just started Googling like free software soundboard. I don't know how to do this.
And everything happened. I think it happened. I'm not even trying to cut you off. I'm sorry, but I think Joe has this path of where he quantum created this podcast. Like, he knew it was going to happen. I could tell as I was putting laundry or dishes or whatever the fuck away, I know that he knew that this was going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. And even though my response was like, well, what does it mean? Or what do you want to do out of it? And he thought that I hated it. I really was curious. And he has done nothing but make sure it happens as he wants it to happen, and he always finds the right answer. So we had sound issues in the beginning. He wanted to find a soundboard. Every single thing, every obstacle that has come across our path, he's overcome, and it looks effortless to me because I am not doing it.
The great ones make it look easy.
Yeah, but he was like, oh, this is such a pain in the ass. And I was like, really? Because it looks so easy. Or like, are you serious?
No, because the way that
it looks great.
I mean, if you were to see my soundboard, it's ridiculous. It's the most low-tech piece of software you've ever seen. It's just a bunch of squares that has my dumb names for the sounds on it. And the way that I get these is I go on YouTube, screen record on my phone, then I got to convert that to an MP3, then I got to email that to myself, then I got to edit it to make sure the volume and all that shit's good, then I add it to the soundboard, and that is how the soundboard works.
Yeah, I do stuff like that, and to get that one clip, it takes so many things. They're like, all right, I got to upload it to Drive and then convert it and then bounce it through Handbrake so it'll upload faster. And then, yes, I completely – it's the craziest thing. And then I do the same thing tomorrow. I'm like, check this out. And it's like, da-da-da-da-da. And she's like, oh, that was pretty cool. I'm like, that took me 17 hours to make. You know?
Especially you better fucking enjoy it.
Dude. Oh, that's super crazy. Fair. Joe just does it so fast. Like, well, I'll be making breakfast or something, or he will, or whatever. He'll go into the room for 2 seconds, come out and be like, come listen to the soundboard. I just added a bunch of new sound. And I'm like, wow, you did that in a really short time. That's great. Maybe I don't give you enough credit for it, but he does it so fast. It doesn't seem like it's a lot. But also, Joe has this really cool thing where he was just born being cool. Mm-hmm. Doesn't get stressed. Nope, he doesn't. Sorry, I know you don't like hearing that. That's one thing that's one of Joe's downfalls.
Because I have a boner.
How have you tested this? Do you jump out at him? Do you toss fireworks around the corner at him every now and then to see if he'll jump?
No, he doesn't get.
I might poop, but I won't tell you that.
He doesn't get riled up.
Yeah, well, a little bit.
When we have a troll, we occasionally have a troll on our chat. It's very rare. Or if something negative happens, he's just like, meh, whatevs, it's cool. Yeah. So when he has to go put a new sound on the soundboard, he's like, oh, this is fun for me. I don't care. And then he goes and does it and comes out and he's like, what? This is so cool. Come see this. And doesn't care at all about anything else.
You know, there's this concept that's called amori fati. And it's Latin. It means shit. Fuck.
It means shit?
No, I just had this. I just Google this shit. Oh, my wife and I just learned. Amori fati, it means I love it. Okay, so it means I love it, meaning that whatever happens, you just say, I love it. You know, something fucks up, I love it. It takes longer, I love it. You're 5 minutes late for leaving the house and you feel like you're late, I love it. Amori fati. And basically, it just states that you're just right there. And all of the things that are imperceivably like inconvenient to you at the time hindsight, and I think we were talking about this on the live last night, it's like that 5 seconds or something like that may have been the difference between you getting in a wreck and dying, or you hitting someone and killing them all. And it's just no fault of your own, but the universe will kind of play with you, I think, in that way. I have seen this happen to where, like, my wife used to leave before me in the morning or something like that. And I'd, like, leave not too long after her. And I'd forget my wallet or something. I'm like, shit. And so I'd come all the way back up the drive, whatever, run inside, you know, say bye to the dogs again because I have to go around and pet it and kiss everybody bye again. And then grab my wallet and run out. Well, that was, like, 5 minutes later. And then the whole freeway shut down, like some horrible wreck. Fuck. And so I'm like, well, maybe I was going to be in that had I have, you know, been on time, air quote. So amore fati. That's it. Those little offsets or setbacks, I usually just kind of frame it like that and just like, well, number one, it doesn't bother you then because you're just like, oh, well, universe has got my back. It's fine. But that saying, amore fati, it's the embodiment of that whatever happens, it's all perfect.
It's kind of like what Jen introduced to me is the good or bad, hard to say thing. And there's a bunch of examples of that, like good or bad, hard to say, like this thing happened, but then this was great.
The little boy's riding a horse and he breaks his leg. There's so many. It's a parable, but bad, hard to say is. Do you know that where the kid breaks his leg riding a horse, and then he, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, this is awful. You broke your leg, but then they get drafted. There's a war that happens in that country, and so the kid can't go because he has a broken leg. And so the father's like, oh, this is so great, and then anything could happen at that point. Joe and I had an experience where as soon as I heard that parable, we were living at Cali Court. Ben, you lived with us. You had just moved out. And we were like, oh shit, Ben moved out. Okay, cool. So maybe that's bad because we have to pay more money for rent, but it's okay because we have this. Like, we were trying to figure it out. And then we had these shitty neighbors, and they weren't shitty. They were just loud. They were just really loud. And they got very drunk and they smoked weed, which is totally fine. But we were in very close quarters, and my daughter liked to have her window open at night, and she could smell weed, and she was like 10. And I was from a place where weed is not legal. So she was like, oh my gosh, I can smell weed outside. This is awful. And I was like, it's fine, honey. Just breathe it in and go to bed. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that.
Like, settle down, narc. Like,
don't worry about it. It's no big deal. But they were pretty loud, and they smoked weed and drank, and like, we didn't care. Joe and I didn't care at all. But we were just like, whatever, it is what it is. But they moved out finally one day. The police were called a couple times on them. It was just a weird situation. Again, Joe and I didn't care. We weren't like, oh my gosh, these people are the worst. We didn't care that much, but it was still weighing on us a little bit, like, what's gonna happen? And eventually they got kicked out, and we were like, yay, they moved out, this is amazing, we're so grateful. And then a new lady moved in, and we were so happy. She was this older lady, a 50-year-old something lady, and we were like, yay, this is the best thing that could happen. And then she apparently hates cigarettes, and Joe and I would smoke a cigarette like twice a night maybe, and she would slam all of her windows at night. And it took us a while to realize that she really just hated fucking cigarettes, and also at the same time wanted to keep all of her windows open in a townhouse that she rented. I don't know. Pick your battles, man.
But she wanted to be passive aggressive about it instead of being like, I like to keep my windows open. Do you mind smoking down the street?
No, but we would smoke. Remember, we smoked out front one time, and she slammed her front door too because she wanted to keep all of the windows open in the entire house. So we tried to adapt to her, but we were like, oh, apparently this neighbor like isn't that cool. So we ended up moving. And then when we ended up moving, we were going to buy a house after that. And our landlord, I texted her and was like, hey, we can stay here forever. I know COVID's happening and people aren't paying their rent, but we're totally going to stay here. Like, I was thinking this is really good, really positive. And she said, sorry, my husband and I are getting a divorce, so I need to move into the place that you're in when your lease is up in 2 months. So we needed to find a new place or a new place to rent. And we ended up buying our house that we have now. So it seemed like a really negative situation at the time. Like, long story short, sorry, this was kind of a rant, but
That's great.
All of these terrible things that happened, or good things or whatever, it all led us to a place where we bought this house, and hey, maybe ultimately it will be destroyed by an earthquake and it will be bad at the end. Sorry, not to be weird.
Maybe
but...
plasma apocalypse. I don't know. I don't think maybe. We're out of the woods on that. Yeah.
Can only hope.
Maybe, we but might at see the end that. Of the day, like we bought our first house and it was really great. And it's a really awesome place. And we got to do that because we had to kick our asses into gear because we didn't want to be kicked out of where we were living at, even though it was crazy that we were getting, quote unquote, not evicted, but just our lease was up and it was done. So we paid our rent and then also bought a house, and it seemed like a negative situation, but it turned out great. So I don't know. We just have to look at things differently. When we feel certain things, we have to look at it differently and say, hey, you know what? Let's look at this from a different angle.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's those little moments like that, and it's those shakeups, though, that really get you moving. That's the motivator, you know, and that's why this kind of cosmic thing, like with the lockdowns and COVID and all that kind of shit, that's one of the ways that I've been looking at it, is like it's a forced shadow work period for us to kind of all just sit down and get our shit together. But it's like that darkest before the dawn. And I find this with me personally. I kind of have been going through a pretty energetically heavy week, is how I'll put it. A full week of this shit. It's been a while since it's been this intense for this long. And usually I can know that when that happens, that's just the day crescendo before the big drop, and everything's just amazing. So I'm super pumped about the high vibe shit that's coming right after this. I know, because I've just been depleted. It's been really, really tricky. So because you get to those new levels of awareness you feel, and then something as simple as something normal and 3D pops up and just takes you out for a week. It's crazy. It seems like the more enlightened I feel that I become, the more detached from, I think, being able to politely and patiently deal with super absurdly dumb shit. Like, it's just, it's very, very challenging. Do y'all feel that
I
as well?
I totally feel you. Yeah.
Yes, and, you're 100% right.
She tries to keep me in check with that because I'm so detached from most of the stupid shit that goes on that I just don't care. And it does not affect me. It goes right over. Just, no, don't care. Like, so she has to keep me in check with that. She's like, well, actually, this is kind of important because of the... I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, fuck.
Oh, right.
Well, no,
I should care about that more.
I'm also new. I'm a good liaison because right. For right now, I'm a good liaison by being like new to the meditation world. So I totally get that there's something bigger than us, but that's brand new to me. So I also very clearly remember caring a lot about how full our refrigerator was, like, you know, 2 months ago. That was very important. It has to look like this because this is how my parents' refrigerator looked, and this is how this should be. But it doesn't have to be that way. You have to do what you have to do in a positive way, and everything just has to be, I don't know, normal. I know that sounds really weird, but it's hard because we go about our lives and we're told you have to do this, this, and this to be acceptable in society. And we just try to strive for that. And when we fail, we feel bad, and we shouldn't. We just shouldn't fucking care. And you're really good at just doing that on your own, babe. You don't fail.
Well,
I can look. Thing.
Yeah. Just doing it. Yeah. Yeah. Not being affected by it. And what's so weird.
Go ahead.
No, please, Ben, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I completely empathize with that. There was several conversations going back to the mantra that you were saying, that I remember hearing my dad carried it out without ever verbalizing it. And then I ended up hearing it when I was in the academy, was that whenever something happens, because things do happen that are out of your control. Everybody's always like, you can always trace things back to, sometimes you can't. We couldn't trace back Tony's death to something that we did. Sure, you could look back if you really want to and say, well, we enabled him, this, that, and the other, but that's not going to get you anywhere. He was a grown-ass man. He chose to do what he did. And so one of the things that I heard in the academy is whenever something happens in life, whether it's self-inflicted or it's out of left field and it's one of those curveballs that life throws you, there are two things. Either you can do something about it, and then you do what you can, and if it's not enough, it's going to play out the way it's going to play. Or there's nothing you can do about it, and it's going to play out the way it's going to play. Either way, worrying about it isn't going to do shit. Now, there is a certain part of worry and anxiety, I guess you could say, and throw that in there, where it can kick your ass into gear. to think outside the box and do this, that, and the other. But when those thoughts and ideas come, you should act on them. And when it's all said and done, know when to step back and say, I've done everything I can. That's enough. It's going to play out the way it's going to play out. My dad was always very good about portraying that. He just didn't worry about shit. He would go to work. He worked long hours for, I think he said 45 years. He worked 10-hour days, 5-6 days a week. And we always knew, though, that dad was going to be home at a certain time. There was no question about it, unless he was stopping at a store, in which case my mom always relayed, he has to stop in the store. He's going to be a half hour late, this, that, and the other. We always knew that. And there were hard times, and we saw it, and my parents were upfront with it about it. And looking back, I go, yeah, that's very much how the most, at least me and Joe, that's how we kind of go through life. We're very steady and solid. We don't have a lot of waves with emotion and mentality or logic that really throws us. Part of it is that, and I've said this for years, is when a lesson comes your way that's self-inflicted, you should let it hurt, at least to a little bit. At least let it inflict a little bit upon you to not create that same mistake. And I'm the worst offender about not letting that happen because I don't worry about shit. So that is the catch 22 to it. But to go back to what you were saying and kind of incorporating that is that you can only do so much in life, and life is never going to stop revolving because it doesn't revolve around you. And when that happens, you got to know when to let go and let it play out. And then when that happens, have a course of reaction. You know, there's an old saying, action is faster than reaction. That's true, but you can always plan for your reaction. You can see the signs, you can see it coming, and you can do what you can do. But worrying about it and trying to control something that is not in your control is not only futile, but you're going to ruin yourself trying to do that.
Yeah, it's in Texas, we have the saying, don't go borrowing trouble, or don't go building.
Yeah, that's a good way to put that.
Yeah, don't go building bridges you ain't never going to cross, honey. Ain't gonna, no
good. Tim McGraw.
Yeah, Tim McGraw. Live like he was dying, honey. So it's just an interesting thing because, yes, you could spend a lot of mental energy creating a bunch of situations that never, ever, ever happen. And a great line from the wonderfully hilarious movie Van Wilder is, worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And
exactly.
I like that. I like that a lot. And it makes a lot of sense. And it does. I mean, think about how much of your life has probably been spent making up scenarios of what you're going to say to that person next time you see them, or how this, this, and this is going to play out, and none of that shit happens. None of that shit happens. I could say with 100% certainty, every single time I did it, it was an absolute waste of time. And mm-hmm. It was a waste, and it robbed me of my moment of now. It's another psyop from the Matrix, is for you to kind of predict what's going to happen and be upset and defensive about it and fearful about it. It's crazy. So
actually funnier, though, when you're stuck in that trying to like figure out, oh, if I see this person, I'm going to say this. It's actually funnier if you don't, because there's been so many times when I've unexpectedly seen someone and I'm like, I don't know what to say to this person. I'm just going to be like, well, see you later. And then you just move on.
That was the best way for that to go. I completely agree with you, Brandon. It's funny because I used to do that where I would spend an hour
everybody
ahead creating a scenario of how this is going to happen. And then, yeah, no, I know everyone does this, but it's such a waste of time because it's never, that's it. If it did happen that exact way, best case scenario is that you'd be freaked out as fuck that it happened the exact way that you thought it would.
Thank you.
Look,
and
I am
all
magic.
The things and all the things that you plan to say in perfect response to this exact scenario, when it plays out perfectly in front of you, because it's never done that before, you're not going to have a reference point for it, and you're going to lose your shit, and all the things that you thought you had planned out ready to go are going to go right out the window. And then you're just going to piss on yourself and
yes.
It's going to be a net loss. Yeah.
It's like so ready.
He's response
I'm telling you. He's got his finger like this, and he just kind of goes like this while people are talking. And then as soon as they say the right thing, he's like, ha, got it.
That is exactly what happens.
Fuck off.
See? It's like he's my brother.
Damn it, y'all are so much fun. Okay, so I want to know your favorite conspiracy theory. Like, what's your favorite one? Like, one where you're just like, this is fucking crazy. Because it's real, or something you think is real.
We did something similar the other day, and Ben was going off about the moon landing, and I gotta agree, that's one of the benchmarks, only because it covers so many other things: space, what the fuck the Earth is, what space is, what air is.
World War II, Roswell, JFK, all of it is like that 40-year period.
Around the moon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so we were talking the other day about my favorite thing is the manipulated history in the last couple hundred years and how things are cyclic, and we kind of went off on that. Jen's, I can't remember, was your...
That the pyramids were built by something other than slaves, Egyptian slaves, that they were built by probably aliens.
Which kind of tied into my manipulated history thing and the moon. So
it all worked out. Yeah, it all ties together. Ben, what about you?
Moon landing.
Moon. Okay, got you. Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
You mentioned that in this, I guess you could say, community. You mentioned that in this community, and everybody knows exactly what you're pointing to. The one thing that I brought up was a Dateline special back in, I believe, late 90s, early 2000s, where they actually brought a Dateline special about it being fake. And of course, the caveat to that is always, well, if it's on Dateline, it could be controlled opposition. Mm-hmm. You know, let's throw it out there because conspiracy theorists are saying it. That way people go, wow, do people really think that? And then it suppresses the conspiracy to those who actually have been thinking it. But the crazy part about it was the amount of, I don't want to say inaccuracies, but more or less inconsistencies with what was being told to us and the time at which they're saying it happened. And then the fact that, you know, 50 years later, we haven't gone back, and their excuse is that they don't have that technology anymore. And I'm like, you didn't have the technology then. If you don't have it now, you didn't have it then. And so then we went into, you know, different angles and shadows and this, that, and the other. And my biggest thing is the human behavioral concept behind it, where if you just take that alone, and we were able to do it in 1969, we would be dominating that shit if it had happened now. So that's my biggest thing.
Yeah. And what about the Apollo, I want to say it was 17, where they... they had the film on the moon, and they were doing a shot of the lunar lander or whatever, and when the capsule jettisoned off, the camera pans up and follows it. Have you guys seen this?
Apollo 11.
Yes, we brought that up.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay. As I said, if everybody was on the ship, first of all, there are two things with that. One, the only way that they could have been able to control a camera is by radio wave remote. Okay. One, how are you getting that on the moon? Now, if it's shortwave and they're able, almost like Bluetooth, device to device. Okay, that's one thing. First of all, though, then there's what's powering it. And thirdly, my biggest thing is we can barely stream around the world without technological glitches. How the fuck were they streaming that on boob tubes without internet from the fucking moon? It's nah,
science,
mate.
Ben. It's science, Ben. It's engineers, and that's part of American work. Okay, and we beat the Russians, and that's what happened.
That's all that's important, yeah.
That's what happened, Brandon. You're right. It was the space
America.
We had to win.
Yeah, you know, and it's crazy. And I've had a guy named Kurt Carlton on my show. He's a NASA engineer. He worked through Boeing on NASA projects for like plus 40 years and trained astronauts in the neutral buoyancy lab. I mean, Okay, here.
Hang
on. Okay, do you see this? This is a ring, allegedly, that was flown on the ISS, on the International Space Station. And it got brought back by a bunch of astronauts. And he gave me this thing back here, which is a picture of the ISS. And it's got six astronauts that signed it from SS 123, I believe. But, dude, my second and third episode are with him. It's shit audio because I just started. Apologies. But anyway, he is fascinating. And then, you know, a few, a dozen episodes or more later, I had David Weiss on, and we were talking about the flat Earth. And so Kurt's stories blew my mind. I mean, he's like, he lives in Texas. He's a friend of mine's dad. And so he is just one of the most fascinating guys. And what he knows about what he was taught is unbelievable. And David Weiss and I were talking about this. I go, look, I got a buddy of mine. He's a NASA employee, worked there for 40 years. He goes, yeah, this is what they do. They tell you that this is where all the stuff is going, and then they just don't shoot it up. But they shoot it off, and then it goes out over the ocean and then falls in the water, and then that's it. And he was like, he would never know. And that's the thing about this. Whenever you talk to somebody about this, that they take it personally. And David said that the reason that they do this, like one of the examples was for the Saturn V that was Apollo 11. They contracted out over 100,000 contractors for that one rocket. And so now you've got 100,000 contracts with all of those having employees at them, dozens and hundreds and thousands of employees, so that they could go home and tell their grandkids, my peepaw broke, you know, wrote the or made the bolts for this capsule thing, or my, you know, G-Ma made the wiring sleeves or something like that. You know, she sewed the patches. Like, everyone's kind of now emotionally invested in this idea. And to deny them that would be to deny it for some of those people. You think about just super average to work on something that went to space, you know, that's like a legacy thing. You know, that's their claim to fame in that town. Yeah, my grandpa did this and now he's got his picture up in this bar. And to find out none of it happened or it wasn't real, there's, you know, a shitload of hubris in that. And we can all understand that. But that's one of the things that's so fucked about this is how they wrap people and hope and families and stuff into this and then just bullshit. It's weird. So
yeah,
weird.
The compartmentalization of the whole thing is the thing that always gets me. That, like, when everyone's like, "Oh, you know how many people would have to be in on this for this to work?" It's like not that many.
Yeah,
like I'm a cog in my job here, the thing that I do, and if I were to be gone tomorrow from my job, nobody in the rest of the company would ever fucking know. Like, that's how little these people are in, like, the aeronautics and the space industry and all that. Yeah, like you were talking about, oh, they made the little, like, 8-inch screws for the capsule, and that's all they knew about it. That's all they fucking knew about it. Who knows how to put it together? Those are the people you got to watch out for, and the people controlling them, but that's a deeper conversation.
That is. So, why do you guys think NASA's lying?
I don't know.
Well, I think the easiest is obviously because, well, one, you got a bunch of stuff from Operation Paperclip, which I think was a direct correlation to be able to pull it off. Secondly, it was a great way to network. There are theories that they had contracted shortly right before that with Disney, which would explain all of the cameras for the set, I guess you could say. But I think that the biggest thing was continuing 14 years later to show that world dominance after World War II and Korea coming into Vietnam is I think that it was all a power play. And because the technology was so rudimentary compared to what it is now on the connected, you can't hide anything today for the most part. And if you can, then they just send out controlled opposition to at least boggle everyone's mind to be in the middle. There's an old saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Well, when people don't know what to do with themselves and they can't figure out a side, that's exactly where they want you to be, is confused. And I think that other than beating the Russians, I think that the whole thing was just a power play. And like Joe said, I don't think that many people had to be in on it. I think the people that were in on it that were going to speak, like I believe it was Apollo 7 or 8, blew up on the launch pad. Many people were saying that they were going to be whistleblowers. And then 2-3 days later, the attorneys that were going to continue on with the case in defense of their clients who died on the launch pad ended up getting offed. And of course, it was ruled suicide and a car malfunction on the train tracks. And most of this was all stuff back in a day where you believed what came on the TV. Your government wouldn't lie to you. Everybody was still patriotic. They were still going through wars. They were rallying. And I think that was the perfect time to sell a world dominant scheme that nobody would and could question.
Yeah, it's like that movie Hot Fuzz when he's like, oh, it's an unfortunate accident. Is that an accident? And that damn thing was crammed on his head, you know, or they're like decapitated. Oh, it's been a terrible accident. You know,
we're in beta testing right now. We're like the beta test for like, what can we really get across to these people?
Yeah, well, and it's funny you said paperclip, and I completely agree. It's almost like, and Jim Mars wrote that book, The Fourth Reich, and a lot of people think this, and the more you look into it, the crazier it becomes, that really the Nazis did not lose the war. Germany surrendered,
at all.
But the Nazis did not.
Only 17 officers actually got prosecuted at Nuremberg, and that's supposedly with Hitler being dead. And now they say they found their skull, but they can't get their hands on it because the Russians did. It sounds like to me they split up all the assets perfectly for the world to not find out exactly what they wanted to come out of World War II. It's already a known fact that the SAS and America propagandized how bad Hitler was. And this isn't to say that he's a awesome dude.
Right.
But the idea is that a lot of the theories that we were told and we accept as literature and history now was all written by the victor, And then we all know what that saying is. So I don't know. I don't believe that they lost. There are several shows that really depict that. And again, I think that's controlled opposition. Take the conspiracy, throw it in our face in a fictional manner, and it makes us go, oh, that's crazy. But Hunters from Amazon and also Man in the High Castle, both of those really sell both of those ideas that they didn't lose. And that's because Operation Paperclip is now declassified. We all fucking can read it and know it. So I don't think that they lost at all. As a matter of fact, I think a Fourth Reich is in the works.
A lot of the footage you see from the moon landing and everything else back then, like you were saying, they were like, everybody believes what they see on TV now. Fast forward however many years, and we have a way to go back and analyze these videos and be like, this is clearly bullshit. Yeah. They were doing some kind of obfuscation here on this background scene, or, you know, Kubrick filmed the moon, whatever. But we have the ability to actually go back and look at these old videos and audio clips and that kind of thing, and it is very clearly fake now, but back then it didn't matter because nobody had the ability. Nobody had a fucking Windows or Mac.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Maybe it was on the round table. I'm not sure, but there, whatever you saw, I think it was on your show, Brandon, a couple of days ago, where when we saw, not us, obviously, but our parents seeing the whatever take off and just be like, oh, it's bouncing off the moon. They had no baseline. They were just like, oh, yep, this is how this happens. Yep, this
must
is
be what
this...
that is, because that's
yeah,
what they said.
Yeah, this is what this looks like. They had nothing to base that on. So they were like, yep, this is real.
It's so radical. Really. It's so radical and crazy. It's just so bad shit. They're like, hang on, we did what? So, of course, it's going to be this grand, you know, thing and just this nonsense. It's just wild, man. And excuse me, you know, like wars, I was just thinking about this, is that wars are a great time to institute these huge global changes on the chessboard. And we know, you know what I'm talking about. It's like whenever you see something like the Antarctic Treaty, everybody that signed that is in cahoots. They're like in this huge thing together. Russia, everybody signed that damn thing. So there's a level, I think, of like this buddy-buddy Davos, you know, Bohemian Grove type thing, where all these heads of all these crazy countries and all these jack-offs get together and they suck each other off and jack off in glass coffins over each other. And it's just like give each other pink eye from farting on each other's faces.
My wiener.
All into it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's from one of those, actually. And so it's like these idiots, they get together and they do this, and then these wars break out, or they cause them, then they kill the poor people in the countries, and then they just kind of go, okay, yeah, I'm going to go to America now, and okay, I'll see you in Argentina. And then they just kind of take a submarine over, and then they, you know, live out their lives there. It's insane, the stuff going on, and we all see the big chess moves. And so let me ask you this. What do you think with this whole Russia Ukraine thing, what's going on with that, do you guys think? What puzzle pieces are they moving around, or what is this a distraction for that they're not telling us about?
Okay, so I'll cut Ben off on this one just because I don't know why, but I think it's all theater. I know it's reductive to say that, but think Putin is part of the WEF, and so is Zelensky and NATO. All this stuff all ties together, but they're trying to like make it look like it's separate things. And I've said it on a ton of shows, the very fact that the people that are backing Ukraine right now are people like Soros and Hillary Clinton and I guess it was Klaus Schwab. I don't know if he said anything about it, but all these people that we've been railing against for the last 2 years are all like, we stand with Ukraine. Russia's evil. Putin's a fucking psycho. Yeah. That makes me real fucking suspicious. Yes. I'm not saying I back Putin on it. I'm saying, what's going on here?
I think it's important to say, too, that your sister lives in Ukraine and recently had to flee. Like,
so I'm not saying nothing's going on there. I'm saying we need to look into this more, because there's certain people that we can't stand saying Russia's evil and you have to back Ukraine. And everybody on Facebook with their fucking, you know, profile pictures and all this shit, they're just like, we back Ukraine. I'm going to go get a Starbucks now. Like, just something is gross about it, the whole thing.
When it's what we were talking about last night. That's the first time that they've allowed that on Facebook. So you can hate one particular person and talk shit about them because they invaded another country.
Violence.
And there's a ton of – it's inciting violence. It's a backwards, weird place that we're in. And I think we did talk about this recently. Guys, also, these lives that we're talking about, website located down in the show notes. Go check it out. They're replayed there for free. So you guys can go check those out as well. And it seems like what they're doing now is just like this crazy, like, does this scare you? Oh, no? Okay, cool. You know what it's like? Okay, do you remember that silly ass thing that they take the audio from? And he's like, "I'm old Greg," and he's like, "You know, I've got
good."
Oh yeah.
This is I think the government's doing right now. Yes. They're like, "I've got this," and it's like, "This is good." And it's like they're running around this place. They're disgusting and grotesque. They just want some company, and so they're running around grabbing all this dumb shit. And you're just like, "No, that's all right. I'm good." You know, you want some Baileys? That's what it feels like. It feels like
you like Baileys.
Yeah, there you go. It's what it feels like. It's insane.
Yeah, they're just pushing more shit. What
Goobers.
What can we distract you with now? As far as distractions, though, I don't know.
Yeah, I know,
it
right?
That's the distraction thing. From the release of all the Pfizer documents, or the you know, it could be anything. I don't even know if it has anything to do with COVID anymore. It could be more that they're trying to pass this legislation for the passes and all this other stuff that's leading into this world, one world thing, the classic conspiracy, a new world order, and it's fucking headed that way. And everybody's like, "No, but Ukraine."
They've tested it out for so long, though, and they're like, "Okay, we got a couple, we got a couple, we got a couple." And then the COVID thing happened, and I hate talking about COVID, I really do, but it was an eye-opener for so many people. So I have to see, bad, hard to say, it's like that, where it's like, was COVID so bad? No. Joe and I bought our first house in 2020, so fuck you, 2020. You were great. I love you.
Wife and I, same thing. We thrived. We both were essential, and we did great. We got all of our stimulus. We did awesome. Like, we just thrived. It was one of our best years, yeah. Since we lived in no fear.
It was not bad for us, yeah. Nope. It was a great year, so yeah, sweet.
There were like 2 weeks there where I was like, okay, I finally need to go ahead and get my AR. And I just was like, all right, I'll go ahead and get one now. And it was no big deal. Like, that passed real quick. I kind of, you know, you go through that, and I'm sure you guys did this for just like half a second. You're seeing the toilet paper runs and you're like, hang on. If it's that crazy, you know, we may need to launch some freedom bullets at some people, or some freedom pills rather, at some people trying to get our toilet paper. But anyway, it's just odd. Yeah. It's just an odd time that we live in, but it does seem to get crazier and ramp up faster. This is what I'm saying, is because now you've got this COVID shit, all the variants, they're spinning people in so many different directions, and that's what it feels like. Before, it was like, okay, here's what we're focused on. You guys should be paying attention to this. If you're not, we'll call you conspiracy theorists, and then they'll move on to something else later. But it's like stacked now, and it's stacked in such a way that it's so disorienting. Like, they're not connected, but you know it's all the same thing. It's this beast just throwing these groundhogs up, you know, out of the ground, those whack-a-mole things. And they're just popping up like crazy all over the place, seemingly unconnected. But you know it's from the same shit. It's just weird. There's just such a variety of nonsense going on.
It's because we evolved. And we were like, no, your game's dumb and we can beat you. And so they're like, well, fuck, we're going to have to fucking up our game too. God damn. They're very upset about it. You can tell. That's why people are getting canceled for just putting an opinion out there, when the Kardashians can say, like, this is my makeup challenge. Like, I just put jellyfish on my face and it peels an entire layer off.
I just cooked
totally
chicken in NyQuil.
No, that's totally fine. Just say that, like, vaccines might not work. And it's a suggestion. You're not saying they definitely don't. It's just a fucking suggestion. Suggesting anything is like, oh, you're a QAnon supporting, Trump supporting bullshit bitch. Like, you can't say fucking anything right now without them. They have the bucket. They have things in the bucket that they already don't like. They have like a trash can that they're like, cool, we're going to throw you in this as soon as you say this, this, and this. So they're holding it up and they're waiting to just be like, whoop. And they just want to put you in that so bad. So we just have to be like, nope, I don't belong there either. We're going to rise up.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I'm almost fucking done with YouTube, dude. I got my second strike on there. So we're probably not going to be doing that very long. Don't link OnlyFans links for guests in the show notes, by the way. I didn't know you couldn't do that. Didn't know you couldn't do that. My mind didn't go to horrible, you know, awful, whatever thing. So I was just like, oh, it's a link. There's a passcode. It's for my guest that I had on. It's her, you know, thing that she's a very powerful, wonderful woman. And so she has this thing and it's very sensual. It's whatever. It doesn't matter. It's her thing. I just linked it as a way to contact her because that's part of getting her get involved in like her coaching, what she does or whatever. Anyway, and they were like, yeah, get fucked. Second strike. And I was like, ah. And then the first one was Max Egan, of course. So they pulled that. And so this one. And so now I'm just like going through this thing where I'm just uploading everything to the website. I'm just going to put it there. This probably won't go up on YouTube just because it's too good.
Like, it's too good. I even have a section on my website called Too Hot for YouTube. And it's shows like this where I know they're too good, full of too much dope shit, that I'll just skip YouTube altogether and just put them straight there.
That's kind of what we were doing with our YouTube, where I just I only have like 4 videos, I think, on there. And nice. It's because I can't put all the shows up on there. I have to wait till there's a show where we don't say COVID more than like 3 times or misinformation or whatever.
It's the time that you censor yourself the most, which is hilarious. You're like, oh, I'm going to put this on YouTube, so I better be really super.
No, I never have that in mind when we go on a live show, though, of like, oh, I want to put this on YouTube.
I know, but when you put it on YouTube, it's so funny. Sorry.
No, it's just a one where I'm like, we were talking about Flat Earth. YouTube allows that for some fucking reason. It's not misinformation, but okay, we'll put that on.
Well, it's because Neil deGrasse Tyson is so compelling by telling people with his mic drop, like, oh, it's
such
round.
A compelling motherfucker.
I actually don't give a fuck if it's round or flat. I will put that out there. It doesn't fucking matter. It won't affect my life in any way. If someone said the earth is flat, I would be like, okay, cool. Can I still
God,
get
the ramifications? Out? That's what I think about, is the ramifications. Like, I honestly, I wouldn't be negatively affected one way or another. I just know that it's... I know NASA's lying about something. We all know this. It stands for Never a Straight Answer, or Not a Space Agency. But whenever they're lying about it, you're like, well, why? Right? It's like, okay, we know you're full of shit. Okay. So why? What are you lying about? And if that's what leads people to this idea that the Earth could be flat. Now, if that's the case, and I've said this before, my favorite is the extra land that Admiral Byrd was talking about.
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah,
is the
yeah.
dope shit. Like, if we could do extra land, and that's where, like, aliens and interdimensionals and shit, and really there's physical places that you can go to here, but we're stuck in, like, this Hunger Games environment because they've told you that this is what it is. You know, it's like an audible cage. You know, they're just like, yeah. You can't do that, so don't even worry about it. It's just weird. But that's my favorite thought experiment about the whole flat earth thing, is the extra land bit. I'm not concerned about, like, the dome thing doesn't interest me at all.
Yeah, and it could just be a dimensional thing where maybe the dome is actually flat and it stretches on for eternity, and so does the earth, and we're just in this, you know, never ending section of fucking whatever, and
maybe
up there
in a simulation,
is the
that's why it looks like that. It doesn't matter, it depends on your perception. Maybe when you look at it, it's like a particle, it behaves as a wave or as one thing. It just depends. So it looks round or flat depending on what you're looking at.
No matter how you think of it, I recommend all the listeners get very stoned and go think about it by yourself in the dark. Just think that's about cool. How small and insignificant you are, and that should cheer you up.
Or think about how perhaps why there's so much contention on what we observe and what's being reported and scientists can see and test is because really all of this is just a projection from Hugh. And we live in a holographic universe to where this is all just a simulation anyway, so it can be simulated to be whatever you want. And in reality, then in that case, when you think of it that way in the dark, which I do recommend doing, maybe a little bit of mushrooms, then you kind of come to the conclusion that not only does it not matter that it's so fucking crazy and seemingly fake, but that you are so much more powerful than you've been led to believe. And that's one of the biggest psyops, I think, is that you are a powerful motherfucker. And there are so many ways to test this for yourself. It's insane. It's amazing.
I love that, Brandon. That's amazing. Like, thank you, because that is what people should be doing. Instead of being so fear-based and looking at what's going on, they can go within themselves. And it sounds selfish. I think I talked about it on your show, and I talked about it today on Natasha's show, but being selfish is looked at as very negative. You shouldn't be selfish. You shouldn't be selfish. But if you're selfish, as far as loving yourself first, it's like putting the mask on in an oxygen situation on a plane. Like, put your mask on and then help your child. You have to be your best self before you can help others. So figure out your fucking self. I think if we all did that, we would all come out of it and be like, wow, I feel amazing. And everyone would just love each other because they wouldn't care. They'd be like, yep, this is great. This is great. It sounds woo and weird, but nobody does that. They're so concerned with how everybody else looks at them. So scared. So it's so fear-based. Like, ugh, sorry, but.
Could not agree more. This is the thing. This is the biggest realization that I've played with lately, is the tend your own garden, that you fix you and everything else changes. I cannot tell you. If we would have met a year ago, the dude sitting right here, that was the dude sitting here a year ago, is completely different. You guys just go check out my first episode. Completely different. And it's because I've taken my life by my own hands and gone, you know what? This is my shit now. And that's when you get, you know, because confidence is just a series of successes. And so whenever you realize how powerful you are and you really start enacting these things, that's when you become unstoppable. That's when you're like, you know what? Yeah, this is my reality. This is my universe. It's amazing. I highly recommend, and this is something I'm a proponent of anyway, this is a participatory universe from my perspective. And so I highly encourage everyone to just play around with this stuff. There are simple little fun exercises you can look up online about your telekinetic ability, where you could put like a stone, this piece of amethyst my wife gave me, and I've never done this before, so it's not going to do it now, but you can focus your mind and do this kind of thing, and the bitch will roll off your hand. You can make things move. And it's, you know, just play around with that kind of stuff. My hand got a little hot when I did it. Maybe there's something to it. I'll work on it. I'll put some videos out.
I want you to tell us how to break clouds up. I know. I heard you talk about it on the show a while ago. Yeah, yeah. I want to hear that off air. Unless you want to talk about it now.
Well, I can tell everybody now. Yeah, that's fine.
I know Ben's got to get going soon. He's got work tomorrow.
Well, actually, we're going to wrap it up, so I will tell you off air. If you guys are curious about cloud bursting, write in, and I'll let you know about it. But, guys, thank you so much. We'll wrap it on this, and I'm sure I'll see you again next week for a live or something like that, right?
Oh, fine.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Thank you so much.
Dude, thanks, Brandon. We love you, buddy.
Love y'all.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.